In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
That a boy, John. Good shot.
Yeah, my first beagle of the new year is sinking that boat. Blub, blub, blub. Down it goes. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because we know no other way. It's a lot of fun, folks.
We have fun.
We have a good day job, and this is even a fun side activity talking
about.
Man, if
we had to make our living on this, no way. We'd have to really polish this up. No. Meanwhile, we have fun.
We have fun in the meantime. And we have a new year as another passing of time, and we're into it a few weeks now, and we're just thinking of things that deal with time and things that are important to us.
Yeah, we're seeing the years roll by and everything, and our teenagers growing older, and our waists growing bigger. And
hairline decreasing and gray increasing.
We are not getting better. I'm sorry.
It sounds like it's getting down the tubes kind of time here, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Advancing of the years.
And as we take a look at our world, and John, we're getting enough mileage now to where we got some reflection, and we're pretty soon going to sound like Solomon ourselves, I suppose. This world is not getting better. We certainly aren't.
No, actually, you know, there's, you know, you go to the, reminds me when we go to the store, we had a little conversation with our daughter who has kind of a fetish of eating things that have gone beyond their sell-by date, like yogurt. You know, you can't eat yogurt beyond its sell-by date because it doesn't tell you when to eat it, but yogurt's one of those foods that have already...
It's already been spoiled. That's so, the idea.
Kind of like blue cheese, you know.
The
blue cheese is the one that went obviously beyond its first original sell-by date.
And we can sell this stuff still. We'll call it blue cheese.
It's got what's all those green fuzzy stuff and that bluish fuzzy stuff in the cheese, Mommy? Hey, that's good stuff. That's the flavor packed particles.
So Emily wants to avoid the sell-by date.
She wants to avoid it like the play. Even if it's near the sell-by date. Mm-hmm. Or the use-by date, she won't do it. You know, if it's like 3 days out, she doesn't even want to touch it. Like, you know.
Well, you know, the world almost looks like we passed the sell-by date, you know, or used-up-by date.
Yeah, lots of... You look across our landscape and our streams, our oceans, our airs, our population bases, how we get along politically.
Those especially, those kinds of issues. This world is not perfect, which brings us to a question that, you know, a lot of people... I know my teenage son sometimes asks me issues that really revolve around this. How can a perfect and loving and infinitely wise God...
Make
the junk that we see in this world, or be the source of a planet that is clearly imperfect.
A blue cheese type planet. It seemed to start out like real good cheese.
But the expiration date must have come and gone.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of mold around this stuff now, folks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are we just... And it's actually one of the arguments that's often used by evolutionary thinkers when they look at it, like Stephen Jay Gould and others, who will look at our created world, the late Stephen Jay Gould, but they look at our world and say that this world couldn't have been done by a loving designer. I mean, there's too many things wrong with it. There's a lot of imperfection out there, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
And that would be one of his arguments they'd use against creationists. And so we want to address that a little bit today as we begin this new year.
Well, Stephen Jay Gould specifically said in his 1980 work, The Panda's Thumb, more reflections on natural history. Stephen Jay Gould was an unabashed atheist and evolutionist, the father of, we refer to him lovingly at times as the Pope of evolution. He was very articulate and from Harvard. Anyway, he wrote this. He said, imperfection carries the day for evolution.
This is their one argument saying it couldn't be a loving God because we see too many flaws in the design to be a loving God.
You know, and let's face it, looking at the decay of the world, looking at some of the characteristics of living things, even you wonder, was that what God intended or something gone goofy? Well,
and a lot of this, actually some of the earlier stuff that dealt with imperfection come out of the studies, the earlier evolutionary studies that were actually proven to be fraudulent now or at least ununderstandable.
I know what you're going to say.
Vestigial organs.
Vestigial organs. Now, vestige, an organ that is a vestige Sounds like something that maybe used to be useful, but no longer, huh?
Yeah, like my appendix that they yanked out.
They would look at the appendix,
or they'd look at the tonsils, they'd say, maybe not need anymore. They'll look at your earlobes or stuff.
Yeah.
These are just kind of stupid little appendages you don't need.
Right, because,
no value.
Because life is certainly capable of going on without them. But it's not been proven to be so in more recent studies of vestigial organs. They used to have a list of, what was it, like 90 or 100 things?
Yeah,
that
now,
I think they got it under 10 now, and I think it's on the way out.
And basically the whole concept is going by the wayside because they realize they're... Everything that we have that we were given genetically from the very beginning, quote, is of good use, is made for a purpose, and when it's functioning at its optimal level, it does serve the organism.
Yeah,
you know, whether
provides for a better quality of life.
And so what
not
happened?
Not dead weight.
And so part of our issues that do come and that you have to answer, the evolutionist is. What happened? Oh, by the way, there's one other thing that goes beyond this, too. Evolution thinks mankind, to a degree, is the apex, at least right now, of biological evolution and intelligence. Not like we have, but we don't know it all, because there's, of course, there's dolphins and flippers, and they're the smartest creatures in the whole world.
That's true, they got big brains.
Yeah, they got big, and chimps are almost as smart as we are. They're just a few evolutionary genetic changes behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point, but we are, I guess, the best, because we can make, you know, those real pop-tarts. And
oh, yeah, CDs and so forth.
CDs, yeah. So we're a little bit ahead of them. And so, but the
When's
point
the
is that...
When's the last time a dolphin made a CD?
Yeah, but the whole point is that man basically is, by and large, a good creature. And, and if we just can fix a few of our quirks psychologically and get ourselves in harmony and one with the nature
get
around us.
Get rid of religion, for one thing.
And get rid of religion.
Imagine
and
there's
some of our,
no religion.
Yes. Yep, and get rid of all that. We'd have a wonderful life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things also behind it all, but... Christians have a different view of the nature of man, which also deals with this idea of imperfection.
Well, Stephen Jay Gould doesn't display anything other than, in my opinion, an ignorance of Christianity, because Christianity, based on the Bible, has long had an answer for why we see imperfection and things going amok, running amok in a supposedly perfect world. Let me read to you a torpedo text. Actually, it's an extended one from Romans 8. Verses 20 to 23, it says this, for the creation was, that, and the creation there means all things created, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, we're groaning too, having the first fruits of the Spirit. Okay, tone down
the
groan.
Yes, Mr. Adams. Go ahead.
Lurch. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our body. So here is the creation, all created things were subjected to futility, to corruption, until things are squared when God returns through Jesus Christ and we are glorified and put on incorruption.
So the Bible gives a different story. All things were once good.
Yes.
And we can even in our fallenness imagine something better because they once were good and described as good.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of this thing called sin and fallen human nature and sin impacting not only humanity but
nature.
Also nature and the animal world itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story you get when you read the book of Genesis, one of our favorite books.
Yes.
When you get back to the basics and understand the history of it all, you realize that there is something wrong. Yes, we would agree with Stephen Jay Gould. Imperfection does carry the day, but not for evolution, but does carry the day for explanation. There's something wrong with our world. We would agree that far with him, that there's things aren't as good as they could be, and we can all imagine a world without, you know, the John Lennon song, Imagine No More Pain or Crime or, you know, all these other things.
Well, the creation was subjected to futility, which tells me that at one time it was not subjected. It was perfect. It did not see corruption originally out of God's hand. In Genesis 1:1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2, there was a world that God created that he pronounced good. It was good.
Very good.
All
things
were good.
Tov ma'ov.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mazel tov. Yeah, tov. It was very good. And that's how it came from the Creator's hand, including... Mm-hmm. Even great grandpa and great grandma were very good, and we're not. And they didn't show the age, the wrinkles, the pot bellies, the gray hairs, the whatever.
Receding hairlines,
yeah,
and expanding waistlines.
That's none of that stuff. That didn't come till teenagers came.
Yeah. that changes everything real fast. Yeah,
no.
Can things get better? Yes. Where do we start? Let's start with the teenagers.
Well, no. There's also hope, because not only is there a problem with creation, but God has got a remedy. And I'm going to read now yet another torpedo text from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. It says, "For this corruptible," talking about a day and a moment in the last day when the dead shall be raised incorruptible, it says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And then it goes on to say, when that happens, there will be a great cry of victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There will be a return to incorruption.
We'll all have new bodies with no sell-by dates.
Ooh, I like that.
We'll all have new characters that won't get moldy and corrupted.
In fact, even John the Revelator saw a new world, new heavens, and a new earth.
All things made new.
Everything with like you say, no more sell-by dates.
And therefore, everyone can be happy about that. So that is truly the good news. And it's really understanding, and it takes a humility to admit that I am a fallen creature. Because part of this whole idea of corruptedness has to be applied to yourself first. If Stephen Jay Gould, who wants to blame, say that our imperfection proves evolution, he really doesn't want to say that I'm an imperfect person. I'm thinking through this clearly, and I'm actually okay at the depths of my being.
Well, remember, the basis for evolution is that everything is getting better.
Yeah.
That we are improving, we're working toward better species.
And this part of this incorruption, though, too, is also found in religious organizations. And part of evolutionaries' startup was the break away from religion because of an imperfect church, which persecuted its early scientists. Mm-hmm. And that sort of spawned the idea that religion can't be trusted and religion can go onto the pile of myth and as others would say, I think there's a quote by Dawkins where it's just a bunch of camel herders in the Middle East that have their origin myth or something.
Right,
that's all
religion and creationism is. Yeah,
and that's how they want to say it. Mm-hmm. But in the heart of hearts, if you admit that you're a fallen creature and you have the potential for beauty, it really comes being connected with that recreator, the only one who can turn that which is corrupted into that which is incorruptible. And that's at the coming of this same being when Jesus Christ comes in that last torpedo text you read.
Well, you know, John, we've talked about how there's nothing new under the sun. That is the hope for, as we look at a new year, 2004 ahead of us. There's not going to be anything new. There's not going to be anything really truly different until Jesus returns to this planet, and the creation that's been subjected to futility will be unsubjected, will be freed from the slavery of corruption. And that is a promise that Jesus holds in Scripture for us to put hope in.
Yeah.
Believe that things will improve and the imperfection will pass away.
Yeah, one day the sell-by date of this world will come to pass, but it won't be a sell-by date where we throw it away. It's a date where God will make all things new. And that's what we want to hope for all our listeners at Sink the Beagle. So tune in again for a wonderful Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from 7 standard.